This has absolutely smashed the record for a winning margin by the Blues, and they've decided that's enough. Cashmore sends it into touch. Resounding win for the Blues. A match between the teams ranked 2 and 3 on the table, but it has been a no contest. The Blues wore them down and then blew them apart. 7 tries to 1.
Dominance. New Zealand dominance continues in Super Rugby, but it's not the dominance that we're used to. In fact, it's anything but. But the Hurricanes and the Blues have found, and with their new coaching setup, the right strategy, it seems, and the right consistency and depth of performance that has seized them at top of the table, first and second, and pretty hard to see them being denied some success at the pointy end of the season at this point. Let's stay with the Blues as we're joined by one of the greats of New Zealand rugby. Of course, he's co-host too of The Breakdown and working extremely hard too in many of our broadcasts of Sky Rugby at the moment, Jeff Wilson. Jeff, great to talk to you. It's been a little while. We've had a chat with your wife last week, but now it's your turn.
G'day, Smithy. How are you going?
Damn well, actually. I'm going damn well, actually. Where do you want to start? Shall we start in Suva, where it was warm, but not as warm as Lautoka, but the Hurricanes are pretty hot?
Let's start at that end of the table, not the other end of the table, because I don't know how much I want to talk about that, given how difficult a season it's been for the Highlanders so far, particularly the last month. So let's focus on the teams that are playing well. You're right. And the Hurricanes have been really, really good. We know they're undefeated at this point of the season, but there have been a couple of results along the way that have been impressive, and this was impressive. They put themselves under pressure, got down to 13 men, and they still were resilient. They still held firm. And look, this is impressive in regards to their season. They rotated some players out. They've given some guys a second chance. They played a little bit earlier on in the season, and they fronted once again. But there's some world-class combinations we're starting to see. And look, I just think it's the changing of the guard in this competition. For so long, it's been dominated by a certain team down south. And now you've got a couple of other squads who have been there or thereabouts in quarterfinals and semifinals, but haven't been able to fight away to the top of the tree. Well, now they're staking a claim.
Well, who do we attribute this to? I mean, it would be very easy to say, you know, it is Clark Laidlaw. It might be interesting to say it's just a new style or some new personnel accepting responsibility. What has the difference been so far for you?
I think there's like any team, the timing's everything, combination of factors, but also all of a sudden you've got some guys who've got another seasoned year of Super Rugby under their belt, and a little bit, I'll say this, a little bit of a drop-off on other sides. So all of a sudden the balance has just shifted, and there's no doubt Clark and Vern Cotter have added something to these two environments. And a fresh voice always seems to get a lift out of every group. When you get a different point of view, you get a different philosophy, you know, and it just adds to what you've already built. But clearly both teams needed a shift. They got a shift. And what has happened, though, is they've certainly, in most cases, the Blues have got a couple of key injuries, but they're fighting through it. But the Hurricanes have stayed healthy to this point, and they're in a position now where they're playing the style of rugby which suits them. But also, you've got a really enthusiastic group of young guys. I've mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It reminds me of the balance the Highlanders sort of got right in 2015, the Hurricanes 2016, of you have two or three really experienced and quality All Blacks, and then you build a bunch of 25, 26-year-olds around them who are got ability but are now got 4 or 5 years' experience, and they're riding away. So look, I think Clark's obviously set. Because remember, Clark, pretty much, he took the same group of coaches. So the same coaches who were there, he's now got them behind him. They've obviously set a culture in behind the scenes. He's just added to it, and what you're getting is some remarkable rugby.
Yeah, we are getting some remarkable rugby, as you say, from some remarkable young individuals. People are starting to talk. Braden, you are saying they're starting, you know, even Peter Larkai so early on in his career, and then you go to the other end of the spectrum, you look at TJ Perenara.
This is the most unique season for selection for the All Blacks, because we've got Ali Savia and Sam Kane returning from overseas who are going to be available for the All Blacks. But front and centre, here in New Zealand in Super Rugby, you've got Scott Robertson and his coaching staff who have had a lot to deal with all of these players, know them very, very well. They've got to make decisions on what is the future and what is right for us now. And what do you judge? And I know Scott Robinson's already been up to Japan to keep an eye on those players because he knows that they're going to be available selection. What does he do? Bowden Barrett, another player. So all of a sudden, this is a really hard conversation because TJ Perenara has been outstanding. A halfback's a position where, you know, with Ken Roygaard going down, we've got to look at it and go, what is it we're going to need going forward? Finlay Christie's got an injury at the moment, carrying a little bit of a groin issue. So this selection criteria that they're looking for, and what we do know is, Smithy, and we've known for a long time, is that Super Rugby is not Test Match Rugby. There's a vast difference between those two levels. And England are coming to New Zealand. They've seen Ireland taste success here in recent times. And the All Blacks will be our target. So I think this is a fascinating discussion to have. Braden Yossi, does his game translate to an All Black jersey in that position? We're going to find out whether or not those coaches believe that.
What about the Highlanders, Jeff? You wanted to avoid them, but we can't because it's pretty hard to get naught in 80 minutes of rugby these days. But they managed it against the Reds, and the Reds at that point weren't going that flash, I think it's fair to say.
It was awful. You know, it really was. And I think they'll have some serious question marks about where they're sitting right now, clearly because they haven't got any significant injuries. They've got what they've got. This is their squad. So it's not like they're in a situation like the Crusaders where you've got a lot of quality players who are going to come back in. They've got to, I believe, settle on who their guys are at key positions. It's been a merry-go-round in regards to their decision-makers and key playmakers. And after Rhys Patchell started the season so very, very well, he's been resigned to play club rugby in Dunedin. So I can't understand when you bring in that level of experience into your squad for a particular reason, why it's not getting an opportunity to play. And so I think they're under scrutiny. They will be. And Jamie Joseph, and he'll be looking at his coaching staff. And, you know, there's no doubt there's effort. But what we're seeing is a squad at the moment that's certainly young and inexperienced in key positions. And, you know, I'm not sure how they turn this around. And yes, you can fight and scrap, but you still need to go out and have the ability to score points. And at the moment, they just can't do that. They can't get any momentum. And, you know, if you can't get momentum, and funnily enough, the Crusaders are very much in a similar boat in regards to getting momentum and gains. If you can't get game line and go forward, there is no space in this game anymore. And so that's something that both teams are seriously going to be searching for.
Second versus third, as we just heard Tony Johnson say, but anything but 46-7, the Blues over the Brumbies. Wow.
Well, I was right because, you know, I honestly believe that the Brumbies were not, I didn't think they would win this game, but I at least thought they'd be a threat. They weren't even a threat. So the question mark is did they just get it wrong on the weekend in terms of their preparation? I think a question we might have been asking about the Warriors this week, right? Where on a one-off occasion, you're going, did they just not prepare mentally right for an away game? And is this just a blip in their season? Can they get back to what they're good at? Now, they've got the Hurricanes coming up, the Brumbies. So well, I think they've got to get it right, you know, if they're going to, you know, be a contender in this competition. But I tell you what, the Blues to do what they did without two of their key playmakers in Zane Sullivan and Stephen Petafina for the last couple of weeks, they just look really, really good. And Vern Cotter has got them doing some simple things really, really well. And when you've got some quality outsides, which is what they've got in Caleb Clark and Mark Talia and Rico Ioane, then what we're seeing is some good work rewarded. And let's be honest, I think if the combination of Funaki and Plummer was a combination you start the season with you know, thinking the Blues, you go, not sure that's going to get it done. They got it done beautifully behind a forward pack that delivered some front football.
Let's look at the loose forward trio because this bracket has been around for a while as a combination now. What has Vern Cotter done, or is it Vern Cotter's influence that has got the Satutu, Papali'i, Akira Ioane combo firing a bit better or more consistently so, put it that way?
You get the sense the expectations are really, really clear on a week-to-week basis of what they have to go out and do. And if they don't do it, I'm pretty sure they'll get the chat, you know, on Monday, probably Sunday, I would say, with Vern. It might even be the changing room after the game. If you haven't gone out there and done your job, and he'll be very specific. And look, this is the thing, I've really enjoyed dealing with Vern, you know, talking to him, because there's a simplicity, a clarity about how he wants him to play. He knows the cattle he has can do that, you know, and that's what I think this loose forward combination. They are big. I mean, if you think about, you know, the strongest of Crusader sides, and you now think about the size that they had, particularly when Patrick Tuipulotu was at lock. When he's at lock, then all of a sudden, these 6'3", 6'4", 112, 115, 120 kilogram loose forward trio, how well can they play with a platform in front of them? So once again, clarity, they complement each other really, really well. But look, they're playing bully ball, and I think they're putting every other team on notice about exactly how they can play that. And, you know, there's a game later on in the season when the Hurricanes come to town. There's two forward packs there that are going to go at it, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Jeff, I've got to ask you about this Crusaders, and you know, a lot of people are quite happy to talk about it. I'm not sure the true rugby people are enjoying this because they have had such an influence in our international scene over the past. But honestly, it's not just the margins. It's not just it's the fact that they're just doing so much wrong, and they're too good to be doing that much wrong.
Look. When you say that they're too good, what they are is, once again, they're inexperienced in a few key positions, you know, and some of the things that they have been, a staple of their diet going into every game is the fact that they were always able to rely on their set piece, right? But your set piece is very much relied on experience at hooker and experience at lock, and having a really experienced number eight. That's their spine of their forward pack. And look, they don't have that right now. They've got guys who are growing into this, and without a Cody Taylor and Scott Barrett being available, and you know, it makes a massive difference to your ability to go out, and they can't call on those set pieces now to put the opposition under pressure. You know, the fact that, you know, when you look at I know that they're aging players now, and Joe Moody and Owen Franks, but are they the future? Probably not, but they've had to go to that because they felt they needed experience in this game. Well, what you actually need in Super Rugby is you need a number of players who can get you over the advantages. And this was Levi Amua's best game in a Crusaders jersey. He was the one guy, when he got the ball in hands, was a serious threat to get them going forward. And like I said earlier, if you can't get go forward, it's really hard to break down defences in this competition. The Force, I'll give them their dues. I didn't know they had this in them, but they've improved markedly over the last month. Their signings have been really, really influential, and Nick White, Ben Donaldson, and now Kirtley Beale's in the fold, so I have to give them credit. But this Crusader out, you can tell low on confidence. They certainly don't have the ability to create space for guys like Sebi Roos and Levi Amua. So it's the forward pack that's under pressure here. Lineouts is misfiring. Scrum's okay. But this is just not their time now. This is not their time. It's a changing of the guard. It's what's happened when you lose the most influential player in Super Rugby history, and Richie Mwanga, in my view, the most creative and best player at that level. You lose him. It's a hard road. No different to when the Hurricanes lost Beauden Barrett.
So no one really is looking too closely at Rob Penny here. I mean, we're talking about a professional sporting environment. I remarked before, if he was a football coach in England or maybe anywhere else, you know, he might be doing something different by now. You look at his record at the end of the Waratahs regime and now moving into this one. Is anyone really looking at Rob Penny, or are we just giving him this season?
Smithy, I mean, I'll ask you a question. I mean, was this one of the hardest jobs to take up in New Zealand rugby after Scott Robinson? You'd have to say yes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't easy. Yeah. No, absolutely, yeah, no, right? And he's not the kind of guy to walk away from it either, Rob Penny. I'll give him that.
No, and he's a fighter, and he's going to continue to fight. And he was always given a really big challenge. When you, like I say, you lose, like I say, I'm the most influential playmaker, one of the great creators who was able to do what he did on the biggest moments. And there's some critical and key stock, like a Sam Whitelock, who are not there. But he hasn't had the luxury of having a fit and available squad to actually prove what he can do. And so there are some key guys, like I said, that haven't been available to him. But you're right, this is a professional environment. So if they don't make the playoffs, even with what they've got, you know, I think they'll do a thorough review, and they'll need to make some decisions about what is in the best interest of this group going forward. Because it's hard to recover from that, because they're definitely well and truly good enough to be in the playoffs. It's only 8 out of 12 teams that make it. And if you look at their squad compared to other squads, you would expect them to be there, regardless of the injuries they've suffered. So I think, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, you know, I think that they'll look at what you're talking about. No one will get sacked mid-season here. That's just not the way, you know, the Crusaders do things. Justin Marshall talked about this on the breakdown. They trust the player, they trust their people. You know, he is a Canterbury and Crusader man through and through. You know, they certainly won't be giving up on him just yet. They'll do everything to help him. But ultimately, he knows what sort of pressure he's under here. you know, he knows the expectations that are on this franchise, and he himself knows that if they don't make the playoffs, now that's a failure for them this season. Absolutely 100%, and that's when they will have to have some question marks. But I don't think we're there yet. I think they can still make it. They've got the opportunity to make it, but they need some cattle back to help them do that.
How confident are you then with the start of the international season? I mean, it's not a million miles away, and Scott Robertson will be sitting a little bit, each week will be sitting a little bit further forward in his chair taking notes. How confident, and you've seen a lot of All Black campaigns begin, how are you thinking about this one this far out?
That's a really, really good question. You know, there's some, you know, some key positions that, you know, I would like to see Cody Taylor back out there. I know he's coming out back in about a month, I think, or it might be 3 weeks. So I'd like to see him out there, just at hooker, to see what we've got available to us. Tyrell Lomax has been very, very good. I'm really confident in what we've got in terms of form coming in. But saying that, this is England, and we know the type of England they're going to play, and we're talking about July. And so, you know, conditions can be challenging. So all of those considered, look, I'm excited about it because, you know, we know where we got to last year, at the end of last year, but is it time for new talent? I think our forward pack was operating really, really well. We're tough at home in the middle of the year. You know, Ireland came down here with a world-class side, and, you know, we got, not taught a lesson, but we learned pretty quickly that you have to be on your game middle of the year. Scott Robertson hasn't been having camps during the season, so, you know, I'm reasonably confident, but I wouldn't want to lose some critical and key guys right now. I wouldn't like to lose a Tyrell Lomax, for example. I wouldn't like to not have Scott Barrett available for that series, you know, because I think, you know, our top side will look great. If we don't have our top side, then you'll see some of those players who have been overseas, you know, going, well, okay, where are they at? How quickly up to speed will it take for, you know, Artie Savia and Sam Kane and the likes to get back up to speed? So I think there's some question marks, but I'm still pretty confident that if our number one team's out there, we'll be in good shape.
Okay, that's great news. And just finally, Jeff, you indulge in quite a amount of golf when you get the opportunity. I suppose not so much during winter because of your rugby commitments, but you know how hard it is perhaps to win a PGA event. Scheffler's on the brink now of winning 5 in a row, as is Nelly Korda on the women's side of things. Now, to me, that is, I think it's probably one of the most freakish things I've seen in sport for quite some time. Both of them winning 5 in a row?
Staggering to have the consistency of performance, because you know from a week-to-week basis how difficult the game is, and particularly when you're going 4 days in a row what they're doing and the work's been starting before that, and you know, to do it back to back to back, you know, when the highs and lows of the of sport, they don't seem to suffer from that. You can see that how composed they are, but watching Scottie Scheffler play the game at the moment, it's like, it's, you know, you're watching the best of the best in their prime. It's just easy. It's relaxed. He's got every shot in the bag. Look, and Nelly Korda's no different. You know, when the pressure comes on, it is remarkable to watch. You know, and we should marvel at it. You know, we shouldn't. You know, quite often at the moment we're getting caught up in the history of, you know, thinking there will be no one like Tiger Woods. Yes, there won't be anyone like Tiger Woods, but ultimately this is the same level of domination that we experienced when he was at his prime, and he's doing it in a remarkable way.
Yes, Jeff Wilson, thank you so much for your review and your honest assessment of where we're at the stage of the super season, heading into a new All Black campaign at some point too. Jeff, have a terrific week, and thanks very much for your time, mate. Always appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Billy. Take care.